You're listening to the Financial Experience Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. Today we have Doug Wilbur, CEO of Denim Social, and Doug and I are breaking down all things social, selling, and content today on the podcast. So the evolution of his platform, how social has evolved, why it still matters, how to connect corporate marketing and all these digital conversations that are taking place, giving you some advice for structuring your content and helping your mortgage loan officers, commercial lenders, and others multiply their referrals. It's a great conversation and a very useful one as well. Enjoy. All right. I'm here with Mr. Doug Wilbur, CEO of Denim. Doug, it is great to have you on the Financial Experience Podcast.
Hey, Hunter, longtime fan and super psyched to be here today.
Well, a lot of people who listen to this will know your name. They'll know Gremlin Social. They'll know of Denim and maybe have heard of the recent news of that coming together of those two companies. As briefly as you can, kind of talk about the synthesis of that and why and how these two companies came together and the value.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's funny when you make an announcement like we made, you know, people think that this happened very quickly. And the reality is it didn't happen fast at all. This was a deal that was really 2 years plus in the making. You know, I had come on as the CEO of Gremlin about 2.5 years ago. And one of the first people I met was Greg Bailey, and just kind of serendipitously through our networks. And as he and I got to know each other a little bit better and what he was building at Denim and what we were building at Gremlin and the changes we were making, you started to see where the roads were going to intersect very quickly. And not in a competitive sense at all, but really in much more of a complementary sense. And so as Greg and I got to know each other and became friends, we started to have more and more conversation around this idea that we could be much more valuable for our customers if we became more than just fans of each other, if we actually took the leap and brought the two businesses together. And it's a much more complete, robust solution for managing all of the social media activity, both from an organic perspective, all the way through paid social media. Having that all under one roof is really valuable for our customers. And we were just thrilled to be able to pull it together and have the support of a new investor as well that's got deep-rooted expertise in the fintech space.
Yeah. And what's that? I mean, so we can talk about this all day, but
yeah,
I'm fascinated. So having been in the social space and done work on behalf of clients for many years, you've got organic solutions, paid solutions, you've got merge solutions, you've got solutions that talking about tech and platforms here, they've mm-hmm. got layers of it, or they kind of tack on an element. And yep. you've got enterprise versus more niche solutions. I guess the first question is, when you're building a platform like that, how do you make good decisions that aren't just kind of add-on me too style features? How do you make smart feature decisions? And what do you use as kind of like the beacon to guide your product decisions as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say that beacon is definitively our customer. And we are a very customer-centric organization, right? And, you know, I've had the luxury of kind of sitting on the other end of the table and having been pitched by vendors for the majority of my career and not being heard. And so one of the things that we feel very passionately around is that our product development team and our sales team are very symbiotic, right? And so we're creating that feedback loop between both parts of that organization. We're listening to what our customers have to say. We're understanding, and not necessarily like features per se, but really what their challenges are, right? What are your challenges as a bank marketer right now? Where are you struggling? And how can our product, either where it stands today or where we want to take it in the future, how can we create more of what we're doing that is going to be of more value to you in the future? You know, at the end of the day, we want to be a very customer-led organization. We've got the luxury now of having hundreds of customers on our platform. So we've got that hamster wheel moving in terms of getting that feedback loop updated on a regular basis and having that inform our product roadmap.
Yeah, definitely an important aspect of any software design, for sure. And for you, you've got a cool background of everything from big enterprise work at Discover all the way into this very entrepreneurial life you've led since then. And I can't even rattle off all the boards you're on, but I imagine you love kind of seeing all the different angles that the fintech community is taking to address maybe the same problem sometimes or a different problem. So I'd love to hear a little bit about specifically, you know, when you look, go back to the Gremlin start, which frankly wasn't that long ago, social had, it's fair to say, matured for many industries by that point in time. Banking, you could argue, was still a laggard. But what was the catalyst for you to say, gosh, this is a need? And kind of talk through a little bit about the evolution of that and how you piece together all this experience you had for good.
Sure. So, you know, and this is, I guess it comes back to, I have this core defining ethos. And by the way, I come from a family of bankers, right? My grandmother was a banker. My uncle ran a bank in Northern Pennsylvania, kind of in the area where I grew up. Understanding kind of the banking industry and the role that banks play in supporting our economy has always been something that I've had a passion around. And what is, like, I think very interesting and different than a lot of other industries is the degree to which the people matter. So we all have a mortgage professional. We've got a retirement planner. We've got an insurance agent. These are all humans that we have a personal relationship with as consumers. And those people who work at the bank, their ability to understand what my unique, you know, what Doug's needs are different than Hunter's needs, right? And so their ability to understand what our specific needs are is really important. And banks who understand that can then better position their employees to be more effective in solving those challenges for those customers. And so for me, to kind of put a bow on it, it's really this idea of people bank with people. And that's what got me really excited about Gremlin when I took over the company 2.5 years ago, is our ability to harness that collective horsepower of the employees who work at a financial institution and give the bank marketers the ability to raise the game collectively of those employees, you know, carving out thought leadership opportunities, giving them the ability to have compliant conversations on social media, and ultimately building a deeper level of trust with that potential customer or that existing customer that ultimately gets that deal done. And so that's what I saw as really the macro of why social matters. And it's in many ways very different than how a traditional consumer facing packaged goods company would approach social media.
Yeah, I like what you said. And it's a point that maybe comes up anecdotally a lot in banking, but relationships matter, people matter. I don't think a lot of people that are outside of the banking industry understand just how much people matter at a single person level, your commercial lender and he or she in this community, what they can do to impact the bottom line of a bank is significant. The other thing that pops up a lot around this particular type of marketing, this particular type of engagement activity, is the need for top-down buy-in or top-down training or kind of a, you know, how do you train, let's call it the Generation X or boomer lender who says, listen, you know, marketing director at our bank who came in and did this social selling class, I know how to sell, okay? I've been going to chamber events for 35 years and I'm doing that fine. Get off my back about this LinkedIn thing. It's a software, but you also have to embed a lot of training and a lot of kind of cultural support this solution. So maybe talk through how you've evolved that and kind of seen that play out in organizations too.
Yeah, and you kind of hit the nail on the head there, is that while, yes, of course, we're a technology company, right? But we're also a people company. And if we can't clearly communicate the value that we can provide, not only just on the upfront sell, but really from a customer success perspective, if we can't routinely communicate the value we provide and coach our customers on how to get value out of our platform, we'll fail. We invest heavily in our customer success team. They have a very white glove approach to, you know, not only ensuring that you've got the platform technically ready to support you, but philosophically you're ready to support it as well. And to, you know, play out the scenario with an individual mortgage lender, commercial lender who, you know, goes to those chamber events, they're at the charity golf tournaments, you know, they're doing all that stuff. Our contention is, don't stop doing that, right? this is another way for people who aren't at that charity golf tournament, who aren't at that chamber event, to be able to understand who you are and have that external validation. Because we all know that the number one source of new business for a lot of these bankers is referrals. And what do we do now when we are looking for a referral? We go on Facebook. Hey, I'm moving to a new city. I need to go get a house. Who do you work with from a mortgage perspective? Or, you know, unfortunately right now, you know, a lot of people have been laid off for their jobs. You know, where do I roll over my 401k? They're going to reach out to their communities on Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera. You know, if you're not on those platforms and have activity on those platforms, you can drive that referral traffic, you're going to miss out on opportunities. So don't stop doing the things that have always worked. Just do more of this. And, you know, what we explain to our customers is that, you know, look, your standard mortgage lender, commercial lender, wealth advisor, et cetera, they're really good at sales. They're really good at relationship building. They're really good at all those things of building that trust with that customer. They're not always the best at marketing. They're not always the best at content writing. They're not the best at creating an editorial schedule and making sure that they've got a regular cadence of content that's being published, you know, out into the public domain. That's where the marketing team comes in. That's what they're good at, and that's what they should do to ensure that they're not only adhering to compliance best practices, but they're also adhering to brand standards, tone, voice, aligning content publishing to other marketing channels that are being distributed. And that's where our platform comes in and adds a lot of value, because we give the control to the marketing teams to create, schedule, and publish content on behalf of those employees.
Yeah.
And so you get that network effect.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, because you bring up a good point. So it is additive. I mean, without a doubt, this is digital referrals are pretty important. And hopefully that's become an easier thing culturally to explain, especially as a kind of a new era of commercial lender and mortgage lender has entered into financial services. Let's talk about content a little bit. So it's been the word of the decade, and it's been beaten up pretty well. And one of my major qualms around financial content specifically is the cookie cutter nature. So there's 23 million 401k versus IRA articles. When you search in Google, you know, there's only so many people who can explain that and expect to get eyeballs. So how you build unique content, how you build content that's reflective of who you are, your voice and whatnot, but it's also somewhat entertaining and engaging too. Any thoughts on that and kind of, it feels like we have a long way to go there, but maybe get your thoughts there too.
Yeah. So we've got this approach. And by the way, we provide content services for our customers who struggle with this issue. Right. And so our content strategy, we didn't come up with this idea, but it seems to work really well for us and for our customers, is this idea of 411. And what 411 is essentially a weekly cadence of content. In our world, we apply it at a weekly cadence, and it's four pieces of thought leadership, usually interesting and relevant, you know, news from around the web, with a spin as to why this is relevant for this brand and this RIA, for example, to be talking about this New York Times story, for example. So four pieces of interesting and relevant thought leadership content, one piece of more product related updates. You know, typically product is hero. You know, we've got a new product for, you know, veterans returning from overseas. Check it out right here. And then the last one is that more human element. So in many ways, you know, you're going to the charity function, you're going to the Elks Club meeting, you're going to all those things. That humanistic approach as that last four of the 411, you know, so yeah, go to the charity golf tournament, take a picture and put it on social, or put a first time home buyer in their home and take a picture at closing and post it on social. That's that mix of content that really does help to break through the clutter of just the monotonous droning on of how do I rebalance my 401k, for example.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and sometimes it is structure and consistency is 90% of the battle to just get this really churning within your organization. So it's great that you kind of give your clients that structure for sure. So you know, one of the reasons, I think fair to say, for the acquisition or merger with Denim is enablement of paid services. Mm-hmm. You needed to kind of marry those two things together. Another area that I certainly beat up a number of folks on is around the efficiency of paid media. Mm-hmm. And that's for a few reasons. One being the conversion tools that we have at our disposal within community FIs are less than ideal. And mm-hmm. so you're spending a lot of money to fill the top. And a lot of times you're not getting the results at the bottom of that funnel because you have a terrible OAO or you have a terrible mm-hmm. digital loan origination platform.
Yep.
So knowing that, how do you prudently approach paid media, digital media specifically, without it just being wasteful, frankly?
Sure. So again, that was really one of the driving factors of bringing these two businesses together is because of the success that we were seeing on the organic publishing side and the success that Greg and his team were seeing on the paid media side. And it was really philosophically for the same reasons, which is people bank with people or people buy from people. And so the Denham Labs advertising solution was designed to be able to effectively deliver local market advertising. And what I mean by local market is featuring that individual insurance agent, loan officer, RIA, et cetera, in the paid ad down to the zip code level, right? Taking advantage of all of that targeting capability that social networks make available, but zooming out and managing that all at the brand level, right? So you want to manage your media spend at the brand level, but those customers that are on our platform today who are deploying those ads at the local level are seeing significant increases in click-through rate and engagement. We also have a landing page product that can be spun up on the fly, not only on behalf of the individual, you know, employee, but also on behalf of a campaign. So you can spin these up, drag and drop UI, fully compliant. You launch this thing and it tied in with not only a content, you know, an organic content campaign, but also a paid media campaign. And all of a sudden, if you put these three things together and you start to think about the traditional sales funnel, we now have the ability to shepherd a customer deeper and deeper and deeper through the sales funnel in a very human way. So it starts with differentiated content to carve out thought leadership, compliant engagement in conversations on social, driving a customer off of social onto a custom landing page and extending that narrative off of social, and then ultimately spinning up paid media campaigns to either target more customers who look like that person that got engaged with or retarget that customer to the point in time where they're ready to buy, all through the lens of that individual employee. So yeah, so we're pumped, to say the least, to be able to bring all these capabilities together under one roof.
Yeah, no, that is worthy of being pumped about for sure. this, I don't even know if this is a hard question to answer or not, but it's something you have to answer because you compete with a variety of folks out in the market and mm-hmm. given how you're building your tool. So you're adding on some of these kind of classic elements of a marketing hub, landing page, mm-hmm. optimizer, digital, yeah. organic, you've got all these things. There are mature, big market share solutions out there that serve the financial industry today. Mm-hmm. Salesforce bought one years ago called Pardot. HubSpot yep. bought up actually a couple of companies over the years to build their solution. Acton, there's a few others out there. Oracle has one. But when you're competing against those bigger enterprise solutions that do kind of have a variety of features that you have as well, how do you compete with them? Sure. And how do you win market share even within the financial sector? Because a lot of these places do serve the financial sector as well.
Yep. Yeah. So you know, first and foremost, I would say, you know, some of those brand names you rattled off, and there's a litany of others that I won't mention them by name, but they, you know, while they do sell into the industry, they don't exclusively focus on the industry. And so they'll hang up the phone with a bank, and then the next phone call they make is with a quick serve restaurant, for example, right? And so our viewpoint is that because we are exclusively focused on the financial services industry, and we look at four key verticals, we look at retail banking, mortgage, wealth, and insurance. And that to us is those are the four verticals we look at. They comprise almost every corner of the financial services ecosystem. That's all we focus on. Some of that is because of Greg and I's background. And you know, me coming from Discover, him, you know, coming from Pac Life and other large insurance companies, we understand probably better than most the challenges that a lot of these organizations face. And so we want to solve that problem specifically for them. There's all of that, you know, I would couple that with having a very deep understanding of compliance considerations and concerns. You know, both of our platforms were built from the bottom up with compliance in mind. And so ensuring that if you're going to do all this social selling activity and you're going to deploy all these ads across the web on behalf of your employees, you're going to do all this like really cool activity from a marketing perspective, you're not going to get a call from a regulator and get in hot water a few months down the road. And so those things all kind of working in concert with each other, we feel give us a significant leg up. And if you look at who's invested in our business and who supports us, you know, we are endorsed by the American Bankers Association, for example. We have FIS as an investor in our business, you know, the largest fintech in the world, right? We have RGA, the Reinsurance Group of America, as an investor in our business. And so they invested in us because of our singular focus on solving the problem for our industry.
Focus matters, for sure. It's extremely important for sure. The kind of last question to get us wrapped up here is around what's next. So two questions under this umbrella. One is, what do you envision for Denim specifically and kind of the growth of that platform? How do you want to see it grow functionally? And then also as an industry, what gets you most excited about what's to come in the next few years? And really, what are you most excited about in this world of finance that you serve?
Yeah, so I'll kind of start with the back end of that question, and then we can kind of circle back with how that informed where we want to go as a company. For me, you know, what gets me really excited about sort of the future of finance in general is the degree to which banks are now much better equipped to serve multiple customer constituencies, right? So it's not just the high net worth individuals. It's how do we design products and how can technology enable more consumers to come into the financial fold, so to speak, right? So you think about the underbanked and the unbanked, the ability for us as a society to pull these individuals into the mainstream banking world with products and services that are relevant for them, that helps all of us as an economy, as a society, to have more people be bought into the financial services ecosystem benefits all of us. And technology is a major like player for empowering all of that activity to happen. Banks can't do it on their own. Banks need technology support to be able to better understand the unique needs of these customer groups, all customer groups really, and to arm their employees with tools to be able to better serve those customers. And so that's what gets me super excited. And then, you know, as that translates into how we view the world at Denim Social is, again, getting back to listening to our customers. What do they need to have in their toolkit to better connect with whatever customer segment it is they're looking to attract, right? And regardless of the product they're looking to ultimately pitch to that customer, our viewpoint is that wherever a customer wants to engage with a bank or with an employee of a bank is where we should enable them to be able to have a conversation. So, you know, in today's world, it's social. Tomorrow's world, it might be things more like messaging, right? I mean, we're very tuned into the trends in consumer communication and where that conversation is going to ultimately evolve and what channels that's going to evolve into. We just want to be there for our customers to make sure that they, when they've got products and services that are relevant for new customer segments and relevant for folks that they want to pull into the financial services ecosystem, that they can make those connections.
100%. One thing is true and will always be true of marketers. We will find the next place people are talking. I agree with you that I love the idea that banks can serve new populations in new ways, and certainly communication isn't going to slow down in terms of its evolution digitally. So, Doug, awesome talking to you. Congratulations on continuing to push the bar here with Denim Social. And
thank you.
If people want to check you out, I know they can go to LinkedIn, see you. They can also go to denimsocial.com and you're around. So
we're around. We're, you know, being a social media management company, we're pretty much active on all the channels. So I don't think we're on TikTok yet, but outside of that, you can find us pretty much everywhere. And, you know, I'm readily available on LinkedIn if people want to ping me there too.
Yeah. When you release those kind of hand dance videos on TikTok, we'll know you may have gone too far. But yeah, keep pushing the envelope, and it's great talking to you.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Hunter.